Well, good morning. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the first epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, I would suppose that we would expect the adulterous woman or the criminal on the cross to testify after this manner. But it is the Apostle Paul who testifies these words. The Apostle Paul was formerly the man of the law. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. And he became the messenger of grace, the apostle to the Gentiles, and yet he still saw himself not in the office of great apostle, but in the office of chief sinner. Now in this, Paul was both humble and correct in so much as his comparison was made with Christ. And he was not comparing himself against other Christians. Now, we may well be better Christians than others. But if we think that we are, God knows differently. For sure and for certain, we are all great sinners. We have but one overarching point to make this morning. A great sinner needs a great Savior. So I hope to convince you of those two things, if you're not convinced already. First, that you're a great sinner. And secondly, that Jesus Christ is a great Savior. And He's available to you this morning. So I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but first, I must break it to you. You are a great sinner. There are two kinds of people in this world. There are people who think they are great, and there are people who think they are great sinners. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus within himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Consider now, if you will, more of Christ's words. This time, from the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be in danger of the judgment." But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, "Rakah," in other words, this is a curse word, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, "You fool," shall be in danger of hellfire. You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord." So I ask you, Have you ever been angry? Have you ever been lustful? Have you ever told a lie? Even a little lie. Even as believers, we fail on many points. We fall short. We miss the mark. And this causes us to cry out, "Woe is me, for I am undone. For I live among sinners, of whom I am chief." If now you still believe yourself to be a small sinner, then a small Savior will suffice for you. You can try it yourself. But know this: you will die in your sins, and your pride will be placed in the box with you. However, if you see that you are a great sinner, then you must also have a great Savior. The Apostle Paul, though a great sinner, came to know the great Savior, Christ Jesus. You see, the chief of sinners will not settle for just anyone or anything to save. The chief of sinners must have the chief of saviors. Only God's appointed Savior, His Son Jesus, God Himself, can save great sinners. He can save the Apostle Paul, the chief of sinners. He saved me, the chief of sinners. And He can save you, the chief of sinners. So let us consider the great Savior. Our Savior has done great work. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and I in our unconverted state, in our unrepentant state. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him, our great Savior. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. This, of course, speaks of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and God the Son's position seated at the right hand of power today, advocating for the salvation of all of those who ask for it. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Jesus has demonstrated His great love, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now the Lord your God has not ceased His work at this, but He, because He continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them, for us, for you. Are there any here who are weighed down by sin, being unaware of its import, still doubting the Savior's power to forgive and to perfect us despite our every sin. Well then, the writer of Hebrews has anticipated this objection. And so we read further. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices. First, for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once for all, when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. If there are any sins that were not paid for, then Christ would have to offer up himself again. And yet, what does the scripture say? That he died once for all. That we might come to God through Jesus Christ for salvation. And then come to him continually. Not with hearts of despair, but with boldness and confidence that he who has forgiven us already will continue to forgive us of our sins as we're spotted by the world. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So take heart, Christian brothers and sisters, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he has succeeded. Your Savior is greater than your sin. Have you come here with any doubts in your mind? Have you come here today, the chief of sinners, but without the peace of knowing the forgiveness and the power of the chief of saviors? In fact, he is the only savior. We might say, he is our chief and our savior. The scripture says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. You've come to recognize this morning that you're the chief of sinners. And if you've come to recognize that you need the Savior, then this is your time. Then today is your day. If you are unconverted as you have walked into this place, or you are not sure, Do not leave here in the same state in which you came. Pray after this manner. Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't deserve anything from you, God. But yet you've gone above and beyond. You sent your son Jesus down. And he died through no fault of his own. He bled. Not because he was guilty, but because I'm guilty. And he did all this because I couldn't save myself. He did all this because you, God, love me so much that was the price that had to be paid to allow for communion between me and you, God, and you paid it. You didn't think twice about it as if it were some optional thing. But you went to the cross and paid the ultimate price. Even though we didn't deserve a bit of it. And further, God, you've promised that whoever calls on the Lord will be saved. And so here we are. I pray that those who are converted even now are calling out, God, I don't know everything there is about Christianity, but I know I'm a sinner and I know I need a Savior and I know you've given me a great one. God, provide salvation for me. The assurance of an eternal home in heaven as you promised. And help me to go forth and live a life pleasing to you. As things are called to my attention, God, help me to work them out and live more Christ-like according to your power and through your power. We thank you for your Spirit and your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now offer one another the sign of peace.